Welcome to the Marshall Pruitt Podcast. This episode we have my friend Danny Sullivan, winner of the 1992 Long Beach Grand Prix. Spoke with Danny a little bit earlier this week about the 25th anniversary of that highly contended win. Love Danny. He's always been his own man, speaks his mind, is not beholden to anyone other than himself, which on top of his amazing 1985 Indy 500 win, 1988 IndyCar Championship, just makes him a legend for those who were just willing to speak their mind. He didn't have a lot of fans within the Gallus-Krayco team back then, other than those who worked on his own car. And as you'll hear, there's a lot of earmuff moments. If you have sensitive ears, your constitution is not one that readily accepts curse words. There are a number here. I've left them in because although it would be easy to edit them out, part of Danny's story, his frustration and his views on his treatment during 2 years spent at Gallus-Krayco in 92 and 93 as little Al, Al Unser Jr.'s teammate, had some fun times there. Had his penultimate win and his last IndyCar win there, but also was treated to some revelations about where he stood within the team. So altogether, 25 years on, it was great of Danny to spend some time with me here. Tell us that story about 92. He also gets into 93 with his last win, which came at Detroit. And that, I think, gives us a full and complete picture of where he stood with them and where they stood with him. So I'll be really honest, I was just calling Danny to hopefully have a fun conversation about a very unexpected win in 92, one that got the team really riled up, really unhappy, but nonetheless thought we were just going to talk about that. Got into a little bit of internal politics and drama within the team that, you know, like I said, at 67 years old, Danny's just in a place where he's going to tell it as it is, and we thank him for that. You can get every episode of the Marshall Pruitt Podcast when it comes out on iTunes. I will also post everything to our Marshall Pruitt Podcast Facebook page, so that's a bit of an archive. Definitely will apologize for some server issues that my podcast host and server has been having. They also host a lot of other podcasts, ones that are giant compared to mine, from Adam Carolla to NPR, so I know that they've had some issues that have required unexpected downloads of episodes and whatnot, so I'm told by Podbean that those are fixed, so if you're listening to this, I'm hoping that it came to you by choice rather than a screw-up by podcast service provider. Nonetheless, off we go with Mr. Spin and Win, Danny Sullivan.
Well, when the Alpha thing died and Pat Patrick was going to pull out, there were not that many options around, and they approached me because Molson wanted me to be, you know, part of the thing, part of their program. And, you know, Gallus had a pretty good team, and I was pretty good friends with Al, and Krayco needed something, and so forth. So anyway, I go to Gallus. It wasn't quite what it was meant to be, because Maury was a partner, but it was really, it turned out the team was really, I mean, in fact, we had a meeting where everybody's sitting in their sponsors and everything, and Al Jr. said, "You all don't understand. This is my team. Everything's for me."
Well,
and by the way, it was correct. I mean, I'll give you an example. So Al Jr. and I at Long Beach, and this is the perfect example. So Al Jr. and I at Long Beach, okay, I was behind Al Jr. I couldn't pass him. There was no team order or anything like that. I could not pass him to save my life. Okay? I mean, it was just, we were equal on speed, and there was no place kind of to safely make a pass. So toward the end of the race, we've been running that way for, you know, 80 laps or something like that. You know, for virtually the entire race.
Yeah.
But Ray Hall and Emerson, I think, were catching us, and we got held up by Hero, Bautista.
King Hero, yep.
King Hero. We got held up by him. So I'm watching my mirrors. We're coming down the back straightaway, and I'm watching my mirrors as well, and Al had gone down the inside. And I was because that's how we got past Hero. And I was virtually right behind him. I was right behind him, okay? And so I'm watching my mirrors, everything like this. I'm keeping an eye on where those guys were. They were close, but they weren't quite close enough to make a pass. But they were within striking distance, okay? And this is a true story. I've told this for, and Al breaks earlier than he normally breaks. Now, admittedly, we were more over on the inside than the regular line, but this was quite substantially more than where we were going to break. And I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And I jumped on the brakes, and I tagged him. And I didn't bump him out of the way, because, first of all, it wasn't the last lap, okay? I still had, two more laps to go or something like that, or one and a half laps. So it wasn't the last lap, okay? And to bump somebody in an Indy car, you got to be pretty sure you don't have very far to go, because you could damage the front suspension, the wing, you know. This isn't a fucking cup car, you know. It's a delicate deal.
Yeah.
And I hit him, and the rest is history. I went on to win. But they were pissed that Al didn't win, because it would have made five for him or something like
that.
Yeah,
that was the whole big thing, right? The drive for five.
Yeah, and the funny part was, Ziggy was back there at lunch with the guy not very far after that. And or the Monday after or something like that, and they're going, God damn it, that should have been five for us. And Ziggy turns to him and goes, it is for me. he said they almost killed me. So anyway, the point is this. And then at Detroit, you know, Al cost himself that race, and I'll tell you why. And so at Detroit, okay. And then we went on, Al won, you know, won Indy and all that sort of stuff. And then we went on to Detroit, and I was leading, and I had a turbocharge problem. I lost part of the turbocharge, you know, the power and everything. And Robbie Gordon was the first guy to make a mistake, if they had just been patient. But my car was good and quick. Well, Detroit, there's not much of a straightaway. And again, on that back straightaway, and we had been told repeatedly, because you go down that back straightaway, and you got that left and right, and if you go through the cones, you're considered off track, and it's a penalty.
Yep.
And we went down there. Well, look, I'm not going to give up the fucking spot. You know, I'm fighting for the win, too. And, you know, so you go in deep and stuff like that. But Al was going to get, there was no way I was going to hold off little Al. I mean, he was too good of a racer. There was no way with my turbocharge issue I was going to hold off little Al.
Sure.
It wasn't going to happen, okay? And anyway, but he braked, and he outbraked himself and went through the cones. And so he got penalized. I went and held off and won the race. And here's how toxic the situation was. So we're at Dallas, because they all were going back to New Mexico, they had a pretty good system that one time one team, meaning Al's team or my team, would stay and load the truck and get everything and go back the next day, and one of the other teams would and they would rotate it, would leave and go catch the early flight, which they usually were, and get home that night back to, so they could have. And so anyway, it was little Al's team, and I get to Detroit Airport, and I'm walking, I carry the trophy back with me, and I was walking through, and I saw the guys in the bar, and so I go in to buy them drinks, and they were rude as can be. They didn't want to talk to me. They were pissed.
Wow.
That Al hadn't won the race. And I said, well, you know, guys, I said to them, you realize little Al's going to be gone next year. And they denied it. I didn't know for sure, but everybody pretty much knew that little Al was going to go to Penske. Okay. And I said, look, the guy, I'm your fucking driver. The guy's going to dump you. If you guys want to be that way, you know, fuck you guys. I've got, literally, I said, fuck you guys. I got the trophy, and I'm out of here. And I literally said, I've got the trophy. I'm leaving. You know? And in the end, I was one of the, and it could have been me or anybody else. It's not, this is not because of Danny Sullivan, necessarily. But Molson wanted me and was willing to pay to have him in the team. But what they wanted to do, they weren't getting enough money from all the sponsors to run two cars at the level of everybody else. So they just looked at it like, okay, let's get all the money and we'll put all the effort in the little house car and we'll just get by on the other car. Mm. And unfortunately, you know, the writing was on the wall. And then unfortunately for me, it ended up in a pretty ugly situation. And, you know, because they terminated me, but they terminated me the following February. And it was like, guys, I can't find a job.
92 and 93 with Gallus, maybe not the happiest chapters that would go in the Danny Sullivan autobiography, but nonetheless, yeah. You had the Galmer chassis here in 92, which certainly had its strengths and weaknesses. It was brand new. The Long Beach win ended up being your next to last win in IndyCar. Obviously, Detroit 93, you capped off a great career there. But I guess looking back 25 years, that Long Beach win, you know, came as a result of Michael Andretti having some gearbox problems and a bit of a jam up coming off the back straight. But proud of that achievement, sad to think it's been 25 years and we're all getting older. What comes to mind, brother?
Yeah, well, that's always, I'm just sad about getting older. But, you know, look, I look at my career this way, okay? You know, I was lucky for the win at Long Beach, but I was unlucky for my second win at Indy when I had a big lead on the field and the front wing mount broke, okay? You know, racers, we often have luck. Hey, fuck, you talk about lucky. How about the spin and win? I mean, you know, There's a lot of people who say just, you know, you could never do that again, and they're probably 100% correct. In fact, they are probably more than likely 99% correct. So, in reality, you know, you've got good and bad through your career. I'm happy with my career. You know, I probably went longer than a lot of people could have just age-wise. But remember, I started my career late. I never did my first any kind of driving. I did a school race when I was 21 and 3 months old. We were 21 and 2 months old. And that's when my career, you know, that was the first thing that I did. So I was a late bloomer. I competed against some of the best. I was, you know, not just in Formula One, but I mean, in IndyCar, for me, that was one of the heydays of IndyCar. Not because, you know, the cars were pretty equal. You and I, if we had the money, we could go start a team and buy a chassis and get an engine and go racing and win, you know, and potentially yeah. But you were out there with the likes of, you know, Lil Al and Big Al and Bobby and Rick Mears and Emerson Fittipaldi and Foyt, you know, the list of IRA. I mean, I know I'm eliminating some people or not eliminating. I just can't remember everybody's name right off during this interview. But my point is that it was phenomenal racing. You know, you go look at a grid sheet in the 90s and the first 20, 22 cars would be covered by a second.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, if you didn't have your act together, you'd be a little bit back. It was a great championship, short oval, super speedway, street circuits, road courses, okay? You know, you couldn't be dominant and won, and, well, nobody was dominant, but you couldn't just win and won and win a championship, okay? Great teams, you know, good camaraderie, competitive, and great. It was a fabulous era. You know, big crowds, you know, good people. Anyway, all the positive things. You know, Paul Newman in there for a long time. You know, Mario, Michael, you know, Haas, Penske, Ganassi, you know. And you know, and I got to go through. I had some luck some days, and I had some bad luck some days. And there's not a racer out there that won't tell you, you know, the same thing, or if they are, they're full of BS. So, I had no complaint, and I stayed in it for a long time. You know, I got a couple of bangs and got a little steel on my body in a couple of places, but you know, I do everything. Here I am, 67 years old. I still heli ski, snow ski, you know, scuba dive, do everything that I got to do, you know, still active, riding my bike, you know, playing golf, playing tennis, you know, doing whatever. Okay. And, so I look back on it, you know, I've done reasonably well. And, I look back on it with very, very fond memories, and you know, but it was a tough battle all the way on. So
also, you know, it's just great to look back at that photo of you on the podium there with Ray Hall and Mo, and just yeah. A great time in Southern California.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, got my plaque down there where people can walk on it or piss on it or whatever they do, and you know, on the Walk of Fame you know, things are good, and you know, we're looking forward to that dinner Thursday night. It'd be great to see everybody, and you know, Bobby's doing a fabulous job on all the RRDC and all his race team, and you know, his dealerships, and you know, everybody. A lot of people have had some ups and downs, Little Al, and you know, but when you see him, it's there's good camaraderie, and you know, we fought wars. I mean, everybody's. You know, it was a fiercely competitive group, and you know, there were some times where we all wanted to come to blows. But I look back on it with real fond memories.
Thanks to Danny again for his time. It was a lot of fun. Some definite gems and nuggets in there. It's also just great to speak with someone who was a big part of CART's golden era. I got to spend quite a bit of that time from the sidelines, working for Atlantic teams, Indy Lights teams. Finally in 99, got a chance to spend some time working in CART with the Hogan team, so made some great friends there that continue today. But nonetheless, just always fun to speak with Danny. He's such a great character. And yeah, so I'm hoping we'll have some more time with him to talk about a bunch of other stuff, career stuff, how he got his start, his time in Can-Am, time in F1, his time in NASCAR, just lots of great stuff from Danny. So, as always, I'm Marshall Pruitt. Thanks for listening.